Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. The alt-righters who led the Trump train to victory would be spinning in their graves if they weren't still alive, a fact of which neither they nor I may be too sure these days, considering how rapidly their world has collapsed. In just a couple of weeks, not only has their God Emperor loaded his administration with ever more war hawks and Goldman Sachs parasites, just like Hillary Clinton would have done, but he has embraced the Jewish neocons' perpetual war for Israel in the Middle East, rattling sabers against and condemning Russia, launching a missile attack on Syria, the two countries really serious about wiping out ISIS, and dropping the largest bomb ever used in conventional warfare on Afghanistan, where we've been at war ever since 2003. And remember those campaign commercials Trump ran last November, the ones in which he condemned the international bankers and the Fed, even singling out Jewish profiteer and political manipulator George Soros and the current Jewish boss of the Fed, Janet Yellen, as the enemies of the American people? Now, the Trumpster says he loves the Fed and their policies and is an admirer of Janet Yellen, and his own administration is becoming even more honeycombed with Soros-linked operatives. Exactly how is this different from what the war hag would have done? What the alt-righters need to know, and what all white people need to know, is that this war we are in for the survival of our race and culture is a continuation of World War II. A war that did not end in 1945, but which continues to this day. A war which is a genocidal war aimed at the extermination of our people from the face of this planet. Take heart in knowing this and do not despair. Our enemies are becoming ever more obvious in their formerly covert genocidal agenda, and our resistance against them is building to such an extent that they are forced to accept, or launch themselves, a nationalist candidate whose main appeal is that he opposes many of their plans. That Donald Trump has been turned by them, and that it is obviously Jews that did the turning, are facts that will bring hundreds of thousands of the best people over to our side and harden the resolve and the radicalism of those who are already with us. We are building a mighty army, a mighty society within a society. And if we are to succeed in doing these things, we must have a solid understanding of the Second World War and the real players who brought it about. And we must hearken to the words of William Pierce, the founder of the National Alliance. Here's what Dr. Pierce said in his books, Who We Are and the National Alliance Membership Handbook, about the years since 1945 and the actions we can take today to free our people. Jewish sexual sadism was a feature of Soviet propaganda during the Second World War. Jewish propaganda commissar Ilya Ehrenberg, in one of his most infamous exhortations, urged the Red Army troops who were invading Germany, quote, "Break the pride of the Germanic women. Take them as your lawful booty. kill as you storm onward, gallant soldiers of the Red Army. Close quote. This wish on the part of the Jews to defile white women still exists and is strongly expressed today by the Jewish media bosses' promotion of sexual mixing between non-whites and white women, and their criminalization and demonization of any who resist. In Eastern Europe, the people eventually freed themselves from Jewish domination, but by the time they finally did, they had developed a much stronger natural immunity to the Jewish poison. It is hardly an exaggeration to say that the Pole, the Russian, the Lithuanian, the Ukrainian, and the Eastern European generally takes in his hatred of the Jews with his mother's milk, if he is not born with it, and all the pro-Jewish preachments of his church and edicts of his government do little to lessen this natural and healthy antipathy. It is this which goes a long way toward explaining how the Poles, saddled with a communist government consisting almost entirely of Jews after the Second World War, were able in 3 decades to do what Adolf Hitler could not, namely, make Poland into a country which is virtually Jew-free today. The doctrine that all persons should be treated the same by the government has a way of evolving into the doctrine that all persons should be treated the same by everyone, as white Americans have seen all too plainly in the decades following the Second World War. If the government is obliged to treat every type of sexual pervert and the members of all races equally, then so must employers, real estate agents, landlords, social organizations and clubs, and the administrators of private schools. Thus we have seen the evolution of the so-called ideals we fought for in the Second World War into the pathological anti-white system of today. If we only had the demographic problem of a declining white percentage of the globe's population to deal with, our task would be easy. White governments have the means necessary for halting non-white immigration and deporting non-white populations. Such measures, together with a withdrawal of economic and technical aid to the undeveloped areas of the non-white world, would permit natural forces to reverse non-white population growth quickly. Non-whites have no ability to counter such measures, militarily or otherwise. Unfortunately, since the end of the Second World War, no white government has been under the control of white men with our values and our ideology. White governments everywhere are terminally corrupt, led by collaborators with the Jews. No solution to our demographic problem can be implemented, and therefore no future for our race can be secured until we regain control of our governments. Furthermore, in the long run, we are concerned about more than demographics. We want to reorganize and rebuild our society on a new basis. We want to become the permanent policymakers for our race. Our program, therefore, must have as one of its goals the attainment of governmental power. Nothing short of this can be meaningful in the long run. By governmental power, we mean, of course, the power to make and execute all government policy. This implies a massive replacement of the existing power structures, legislatures, courts, military and police command cadres, and the mass media. No mere election of a head of state can give us this power. No president or prime minister, even if he is installed by a military coup and has the backing of the top military leaders, can stand alone against the other elements of the power structure in a modern white state, especially not against the power of the mass media. In order for any power we acquire to be meaningful, it must be total. That is, it must include all the major elements of the power structure. No nonviolent uprising by a militant white element of the population can succeed by itself. Nor can a violent uprising, in which marches and demonstrations are accompanied by terrorism and street fighting, achieve success so long as the major elements of the power structure remain in the hands of our enemies. No modern white state can be overthrown by a mob howling outside the citadel. The revolutionaries must already have established a sufficiently strong position inside the citadel before their cohorts outside begin howling. One may think that a counterexample to this is provided by the so-called civil rights revolution in the United States in the decades after the Second World War, in which blacks burned cities and marched in huge demonstrations and eventually got their way. The burning and the marching would have availed the blacks nothing, however, had their sympathizers not already been solidly entrenched in the mass media, the Christian churches, the governmental bureaucracy, and the legislatures and courts of the land. In our case, the situation is reversed, with those bastions of the power structure in the hands of those who hate us most intensely. The power we seek cannot be attained by any trickery or subterfuge, by any scheme of gradual infiltration and subversion, by any sudden coup, or by any other superficial or insubstantial means, but only by winning to our cause a large enough portion of the people whose participation in the power structure is necessary for its functioning, so that we can make radical changes in that functioning. A first step toward the attainment of governmental power is the building of a solid revolutionary infrastructure. That is, a structured collection of people and other resources organized for the purpose of carrying on over an extended period the full range of activities necessary to the attainment of our goal. Among the necessary activities are the generation and dissemination of propaganda, recruiting, fundraising, self-defense and internal discipline, intelligence gathering and evaluation, planning and guidance. At this time, we are using our infrastructure primarily to communicate with and recruit from the public. Only in this way can the alliance gain influence and strength while the prestige and morale of the government continue to decline. And only in this way can the alliance enhance its ability to take advantage of unexpected events. An example is the attack of September 11, 2001, on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, in retaliation for the U.S. government's support for Israel's aggression in the Middle East. The transparent lies of the government and of the media in attempting to explain the attack without implicating the government's support for Israel caused a great loss of government and media credibility among the perceptive elements of the American and European public, and provided a major opportunity for the alliance to further discredit among these elements both the government and the media, and to emphasize the disproportionate Jewish influence on government policy. The Alliance used its limited communications capabilities for this purpose, and as the Alliance's infrastructure grows and gains new capabilities, we should be able to have a larger effect on the public's consciousness with each successive unexpected event. Our eventual success depends upon the continuation of two processes: the increasing corruption, demoralization, and loss of credibility of the present power structure, and the growth in the capability of our infrastructure to persuade key elements of the white population to support us, or at least to withdraw their support from our enemies. The first process is continuing apace. The situation in America is no longer quasi-static, as it was during the last half of the 20th century. During that earlier period, the Jewish media were able to keep nearly all of the public hypnotized, to provide a false reality for them in the place of the real world around them. Complaints that America was becoming darker, poorer, and dirtier were countered successfully by propaganda about the evils of racism, the value of diversity, and the wonders of the coming New World Order. Now, the process of decay and disintegration has accelerated. Now, the hypnosis is beginning to wear off as reality becomes too harsh to ignore. The process will continue to accelerate in the future. More and more people will notice that indeed the emperor is stark staring naked, even as the Jewish media continue to extol the beauty and grandeur of his new raiment and denounce those benighted souls who cannot see it. The process of decay is inherently unstable, and nothing that the enemies of our people can do will reverse it. Their power structure will continue to become more pathological, if not physically weaker, in all its elements, and more members of the white public will receive our message sympathetically. No one can predict in detail the outcome of this unstable process after it reaches the point where we are able to exert a significant influence on its further development. It is clear, however, that our responsibility now is to continue building a revolutionary infrastructure able to respond advantageously to all developments and further the process of weakening support for the government while building our own support. Today's program has been based in part on Dr. William Pierce's last book, entitled Who We Are, now available once again by visiting natall.com/whoweare. That's natall.com/whoweare, all one word. Be with us next week as we continue to explore the real nature of the war we are in, and how the truth about World War II can help us free our people in battling the people of the lie, part 5, right here on American Dissident Voices. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance. The National Alliance is working to educate white men and women around the world as to the nature of the reality we must face, and organizing our people to ensure our survival and advancement. We need your help to continue. Please send the largest contribution you can afford to National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Make your life count. You can also help us by visiting natall.com/donate. That's natall.com/donate. Once again, our postal address is Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you, when you look at the night sky, think of Orion. Our race is our nation.
Shout to the skies, we will now have our rebirth.